Welcome to episode 105 of the Transforma tu Inglés Profesional podcast. I'm your host, Daniel Smith. Today, we have an amazing show lined up for you. And by the end of it, you will discover the number one mistake that most Spanish speakers make with the verb present. Learn three key alternatives to present depending on the context. Know how to use a phrasal verb to translate presentarse. And as a bonus, get the exact translation of declaración de la renta. This podcast helps you push your business English communication skills to the next level so that you can grow professionally and achieve your international career goals. So without further ado, let's get straight into it. Enjoy! Hi everyone, and welcome to another episode of our podcast. Today we are going to be focusing on a mistake that can often be sort of made by Spanish speakers. In fact, in many cases we are inspired by the mistakes we hear. And in fact, right from the beginning of my journey, it was one of the main sources of my content, both for my books and for my LinkedIn posts, was the idea of actually engaging, listening to Spanish speakers and identifying their particular mistakes. And in my case, that often came directly from my own clients. But in this particular case, our inspiration has come from somebody else. And I'm going to let Alistair explain this to you. Hi, Alistair, how are you doing?
Very well. And you, Daniel? Everything good?
I'm fine. Yes. So
good.
Today, we've got our inspiration has come from somebody else, somebody special,
a
right?
A new source of inspiration. So instead of, you know, usually, as you say, our clients are the that we talk to all the time, especially in my case, have lots of sessions, one-to-one coaching sessions, and over the years, teaching for many years. Of course, you're hearing all the time similar or the same mistakes repeated again and again. And often we focused on these in the past, haven't we, to do with false friends and translation problems, no, between Spanish and English. Anyway, this time the source is not one of my clients. It's actually my wife, who's a Spanish speaker, but speaks English very, very well, very fluent English speaker.
Yeah, she's incredible. Incredible, absolutely.
Yeah, in fact, we speak English together at home.
Right.
All the time.
Yeah.
Now she's working for an American company at the moment, obviously in Spain, but an American multinational. And she's working in an international environment, as people like to say. Trendy terminology, international environment. My clients use a lot.
Yeah.
And so most of the time is speaking in English in her job, but not that often actually with native speakers. She doesn't have that many contact with the people in the head office in Washington and USA. It's mainly with other European, well, other Spanish people, obviously, her colleagues, etc. But also she deals a lot with Mexico and with Italy, actually.
Interesting.
In Europe. So she's talking to a lot of Mexicans, Italians, other Spanish speakers, sometimes some other nationalities as well. So non-native speakers in English.
Yeah.
And so she started to notice, like I do, you know, various mistakes that her colleagues are making with certain things. So she said to me the other day, said, oh, do you want me to, I notice things that could be useful for your podcast. Do you want me to start making a note? I said, oh, yeah, great. Any source of inspiration for us is always very welcome.
It is indeed.
And so she gave me a piece of paper. She presented me with a piece of paper. There's a clue. The other day with a list of, well, an idea for a podcast. She said, I've noticed people making a mistake with this particular Spanish verb, the way they translate it into English.
Yeah.
Or misuse it, shall we say.
Yeah.
And so she wrote down a few examples and gave it to me, and here we are. And I said, Daniel, this could be a good idea for a podcast. And you agreed.
Absolutely. And I think, in a way, the best...
She'll be very happy to know we're using her material.
Absolutely.
Probably have to pay her a commission or something. I don't know.
Yeah. The best ideas always come from that source, I have to say. And that's kind of like, we should probably also open the doors to everybody else who's listening, who may also notice or be, like your wife, right, who notices these types of mistakes and writes them down. And the whole writing down process is very, very important as well. I always used to notice these mistakes and have a piece of paper and write them down, because otherwise they kind of just disappear from my head later on. But I think we should also open it to our listeners as well, who can also inspire us with these kind of mistakes that they might notice other Spanish speakers making, or even if they just have a question or anything like that, that can literally, let us know, send us an email, and let us know about any sort of question that you might have, or you notice that other people express something in a different way and you're not sure. Let us know, because that can really inspire us a lot, right, Alistair, in terms of, those key questions.
I think there have been, not for a while, but I do remember in the past we had a couple of episodes that were sort of inspired by emails we'd received.
Yeah, exactly.
From our listeners who asked a question or had a doubt or, I don't know, about some phrase or some use of a certain phrase, and went, oh, okay, that's something we can use. So, yeah, great. People are welcome to write in, send you, they've got, at the end of the program, I think you have the email.
Yeah, exactly.
They get.
Yeah, so they can see all of that.
Any source of inspiration is always welcome for
absolutely
ideas.
Absolutely. So let's go to this particular point that your wife noticed that these Spanish speakers were making. What kind of mistake were they actually making, Alistair? What did she notice?
Well, what she noticed was that the Spanish verb presentar, or sometimes presentarse, that the people, or many people she's speaking to on a regular basis, non-native speakers, as we said, were using this verb in English incorrectly. So they were using the verb, because obviously you have present. Mm. So it's the same word, presentar, present.
Yeah.
And so there are many uses in Spanish of presentar or presentarse that these people, understandably, were just translating into English as present. Mm. But in these particular situations, that is not the correct word. There is another way of expressing that, another verb in English, where we wouldn't say present. And that's what my wife started noticing, how often people were using present in English incorrectly, because they were thinking, obviously as a Spanish speaker, she knows exactly what they're thinking. It's
sure, absolutely.
I know why they're saying that, because in Spanish it would be presentar or presentarse.
Yeah.
And she started noticing this and going, oh, okay, yes, that's interesting. And started making a note of the different occasions where she noticed it was being used wrongly.
Yeah.
And wrote them down for me very kindly.
Yeah.
And said, what about that? Use that for your podcast. So there we go. We are.
We are. We are. We're putting it into action, right? We're actually getting on with it and doing it. Yes. Yeah. So the first one here. I mean, we've got quite a few, haven't we? It's quite incredible how many different scenarios you can actually use, or in Spanish you can use the verb presentar, and in English we would use maybe an alternative, or sometimes actually use present, right?
Yeah, I think there's one example here where we would use the verb and it's okay.
Yeah, exactly.
We have to know which one is okay and which aren't.
That's right, exactly. So let's go to the first one, which I think is very interesting, because in so many cases it's the type of thing that you would... you need in a business context, right? Because it's in a situation where you're meeting a lot of people, and you might need to tell them about yourself in some way, right? Maybe actually somebody encourages you to give information about yourself, and maybe they might even use the wrong verb, right?
Ask you to do it.
Yeah. So I think it is really a good one, because it's very, very common in a business context, isn't it?
Yeah, I would say of all these ones, this is the most common that I immediately recognize, go, oh, yes, of course, that's a classic that we hear all the time of Spanish speakers, and maybe could be the most familiar one with our listeners who may well have been corrected on this themselves several times and then perhaps forget and make the same mistake again.
Sure.
So this is where you have to... In English, we say introduce yourself. And this is so common in business context. You know, when there's a visitor, you're having a meeting with people you haven't met before. Could be colleagues you haven't met, or obviously external people, clients, customers. And of course, it's a classic to, the person chairing, we say, or organizing the meeting will say, okay, can everyone please present themselves. Mm. Or you might say, okay, I'm going to present myself. Mm. And this is not correct. We do not say presentarse. We say introduce yourself.
Yes.
That's a classic in a meeting, isn't it, in the business world to say,
yeah,
meeting a new person, you say, okay, can everyone please, we'll go around the table and everyone just quickly introduce yourselves.
Yes.
Say something about yourself.
Yeah. It's one of those funny.
Not present yourself.
Yeah, it's one of those funny ones because I think that I've heard it so many times in Spanish that almost saying "present yourself" sounds almost okay to me. You know, that's the.
Yeah, you start thinking that sounds fine. Even I start even maybe even saying "present."
Yeah,
I'm going to present myself, and then you go, "No, wait a minute. Yeah. No, that's not right."
Exactly,
that's Spanglish.
It's Spanglish, absolutely. Mm. The correct way to say it is "introduce." Okay, and also like imagine that you're socializing with somebody. You'd also say, "Oh, let me introduce you to Javier." Right. Yes. So again, introduce there is much better than present, you know. So that is the first one, and I would say a very key one, absolutely. You if you can get that right, especially in the context of a meeting as well, where you say, okay, let's go around the table and everybody can introduce themselves, right? That sounds much better than saying, okay, everybody can present themselves. Doesn't sound quite right, right? Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, people, you know, the native speakers in that meeting would understand perfectly what but they'd immediately think, oh, you know, that's a mistake.
Yeah.
Yeah, it sounds a bit strange.
Absolutely.
So yeah, much better if you can get it right, obviously. And
yeah, exactly.
So introduce yourself.
So you get, that's the first one, an important one, and a very, especially sort of business context. So yeah. Mm-hmm. The second one that we've got is actually when presentar does go to present, right? It is actually...
this is the one where it works. Yeah. It's okay. You can say present.
Exactly, exactly.
And it's not present yourself in that sense of introduce yourself. So this is, well, it's what we're doing at the moment, you know.
Yeah.
What are we doing? We are presenting this podcast.
Yes.
So, you know, we are the presenters of the podcast. So presenting in English is, well, like in Spanish also, it works in both languages. No, you are the presenter of a TV program or the presenter of a radio show, mm-hmm. in this case, a podcast. Mm-hmm. So we are presenting, mm-hmm. we are the presenters of the podcast. So that's okay in English. You can use it in that sense. No problem.
Yeah, exactly. So
to give a presentation.
To give a presentation, yeah. Sense, yes.
You're giving you're presenting some information to somebody, mm-hmm. or some numbers, figures, or you're giving a presentation. That's a common verb in English we use, to give a presentation.
Yeah.
That most of my clients don't think of. They'd usually say, I was presenting. You can say, you know, I'm presenting to some people tomorrow, it's okay. But I think most native speakers would be more inclined to say, you know, tomorrow I have to give a presentation to this group of people.
Yeah.
Maybe it's more common.
Yeah. Because you
certainly present a radio show or a presenter of a TV show.
Sure. I mean, this kind of goes into the whole idea of repetition, because you could, for example, think of the idea of, okay, I'm going to use it in verb form and noun. So you could present a presentation, right? But the problem there, like as in any other language, is when you repeat a word again and again, or very quickly after that particular word, it doesn't sound quite so good. So that's why in English we would probably say give a presentation rather than present a presentation.
Yeah, to avoid that. Yeah, for that repetition of the same word.
Absolutely. So yeah, that was good. Yeah. And as you say,
so
we're presenting.
That's
we're
presenting. Okay. Yeah, we are presenting this podcast.
Yeah. So now the next one kind of goes a little bit out of a business context, right? But still is really important and can be very important even in a business context, because in certain situations you need to or you want to show that I don't know, that you value something or value somebody and you want to give them a present, right? You want to give them
or suppliers. No, at Christmas, many companies send their suppliers or their customers presents.
That's right.
Bottles of wine or whatever it may be. Mm-hmm. You know, typical Christmas gifts.
Yeah.
So it can be in a business context, although it's mainly in out of business. But and this, I'd say this is the second one that I hear most common as a mistake.
Yes.
Actually.
Yes.
Or people asking me, Ali, how do you say, or people don't know how to use, they go, because in Spanish you've got un regalo, and that's easy. I think everyone knows, and I'm sure our listeners immediately go, oh, a present,
yeah,
a birthday present, a Christmas present. Everyone knows that. Now, the problem is in Spanish you have a verb, regalar.
Yeah, that's the key problem.
Now, in English, We don't have a verb regalar. People assume if you say "are present," un regalo, then the verb must be to present. Mm-hmm. And it isn't, because to present is what we just said. It's present a podcast or a TV show. Nothing to do with giving people presents. So again, people often ask me, Ali, how do you say regalar? Because they don't know. Mm. Is it present? It doesn't sound right. I go, no, you can't say present a present. Mm. So what you would say is, there's two ways. Well, there's probably several ways, but I think the two most common would again be the verb give, mm-hmm. which is very useful. So you can say to give somebody a present.
Yeah.
So you'd say, you know, for Christmas, my wife gave me, whatever it is,
a shirt
or a tie or something as a present. So you don't even need to use the word present. You say, you know, my wife, what did you get for Christmas? Oh, my wife gave me a shirt for Christmas.
Yeah.
So you don't need to use the word present, in fact.
Yeah.
Or the other one is buy. So you say, what did you, you know, somebody bought me, I don't know, whatever it is, a laptop for Christmas.
Sure.
Or for my birthday, you know. So you could say, what did people buy you for Christmas? Or what did people give you or get? You can, you know, what did you get for Christmas? Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Or what did your wife get you for Christmas? So there's three words actually you could use, but not present. Mm. You can't use present in that sense as a verb.
Yes. That's the key point there, really, isn't it? It's the difference between the idea of the verb and the noun, right? The noun is absolutely, you know, a present is a present, but you can't to present often immediately goes to the idea of, you know, like we're doing now, right? So that immediately takes you in that direction. So in the verb form, and that's what is so difficult for Spanish speakers, because they naturally go to that, to present, regalar, no? That must be logical, right? But it's not. So you have to say, in this case, to give a present, or even completely, as you were saying, Alistair, avoid the word present at all. And you can, like, what did they buy you? What did you get? You know, all that type of stuff. So
it's classic. What did you get for your birthday? Or what did you get for Christmas? Mm. You say, I got, or somebody bought me, or somebody gave me whatever it is, something.
Yeah.
So that's the most typical way we would use it. So we probably don't actually use the word present that often.
We don't. I don't think we do. No.
You might say, did you get a lot of Christmas presents? Or a lot of birthday presents. You go, oh yeah, I got loads of presents.
Sure.
But then when you ask for the details of what they were and who you received them from, well, receive, there's another verb you could use, that I received a bicycle for Christmas. So there's various options. You can receive a present, you can get a present, somebody gives you a present, somebody buys you a present, but not present. So you can never say, what did your parents present you for Christmas?
Sure.
That sounds very strange.
No, it's present. Like very,
you mean like a TV show? No?
Yeah.
So various possibilities, but don't use present as a verb with the meaning of regalar. It doesn't. It just doesn't work.
It just doesn't work. Yeah. Good. Number four is the idea of presentar una aplicación or like a proposal of some kind.
Solicitude.
Right?
Know what it means?
Yeah.
A proposal.
Or
a document.
Yes. So that is interesting, because again, you can't use present in that case. You have to use another verb, which is to submit something. To submit. Now, as we go through this list, you'll notice that there are quite specific verbs that maybe you don't know, or that you don't quite have a good, you know, handle on, or you don't use that often. Mm. And that's the key here, is really to get an idea of what those verbs are and how you can start to use them, because later on there are others as well that are kind of very interesting and like just a little bit difficult to remember. And if you can add them to your vocabulary, then it's useful. And this one is particularly one of those verbs, right? To submit something is maybe something that you don't really use very often, but it's useful in a more formal situation, right?
Yeah, exactly. Quite a formal word, no? And often it's formal situations where you have to submit documentation, submit an application for something, whether that's a job or many things you have to apply for in the business world, no? To get, I don't know, licenses and permission and, I don't know, all kinds of things.
Sure.
So there's a lot of submitting documents and submitting applications. So it's a very businessy word, very, you know, good word to use within a in a work business environment. It's not one we'd use that often in our daily lives out of work.
No, no.
Although I do have one example we were given a minute where, you know, I probably would, you know, I would use that.
Sure.
Well, actually, it's connected with my work, finally. So, okay, it's still work.
Yeah.
So, yeah, many things you could submit, you know, rather than present.
It kind of reminds me. It reminds me a little bit of when I went to university and we always had to do kind of these essays, and they would always say, you know, you need to be submitted by the end of the week. You know, you don't have any more time. It's like there is a deadline and it needs to be submitted by then. They didn't, they could have used a phrasal verb, for example, you need to hand it in by that time. That's another one.
Less formal, I suppose. Yeah. Sure. So maybe at school, the teacher would be, you know, you have to hand in your homework. Don't hand it in late. Mm. But maybe university, higher level, bit more formal, no, the professors would say, you know, yeah, this essay or it must be submitted by next Friday.
Yeah.
Just sounds much more formal, no more.
Yeah. It's kind of level. It's funny because that type of verb is the type of verb that I sort of picked up at university. I don't think I would have used that verb before. No. You know?
As a teenager or
sort of
verb.
No.
You would hear very often or wouldn't occur to you to use it. It's true. Mm. Very university sort of level. And then once you get into work, because you studied architecture. Well, no, you worked, I think.
Yeah, I did.
As an architect.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I'm sure there's lots of submitting things in architecture.
Oh, absolutely.
You have
absolutely.
To get permission to do this, that, and the other.
Yeah.
And licenses.
Well, in two different ways. Partly because if you need to get permission for a building or anything, then you might need to submit plans to the local authority or something like that. But also in that sort of world, you also need to, it can be very sort of competitive where a client may kind of propose a project and various architects have to submit their proposals in a competition sort of environment.
To win the contract.
That's right. So in fact,
a lot of submitting going on in the architecture world.
That's right. And in fact, I was part of that process because in many cases I was dealing with a lot of the paperwork, right? And so it was my job to get the proposal submitted on time, you know, so
Very important deadlines with having to submit applications and documents. Now, there's usually always a deadline. It must be in by this time. And if you miss the deadline, big trouble.
Trouble. Yeah.
Could lose a big contract.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah.
Okay. So that's submit.
Yes. But there was one element that you wanted to mention, that you submit something on a yearly basis, right? Alastair?
I do, which I sort of said isn't work, but then of course it is work. All of us, anyone who's working and earning money, earning income, or not even working, but you're receiving some kind of income, could be from renting properties or land. Mm. Every year, of course, in Spain, they call it the La Declaración de la Renta. Mm-hmm. So we have to, I suppose in Spanish, presentar, but in English, you submit your, what in English we call a tax return. Mm. So every year in Spain, like everybody else, usually around springtime, May, June time, you have to submit your tax return for the previous financial year. So very soon, in fact, you know, in sort of May, June, I'll be submitting my 2023 tax return.
Absolutely, yeah.
Or declaración, as they call it here.
Yeah.
Now, it sometimes confuses people with the word return, because in Spain, and I think in England is the similar system, sometimes you pay too much tax and they have to return some money to you.
Yeah.
So una devolución, or the opposite, you haven't paid enough and you have to pay them. Now, when I say tax return to my clients, they say, oh, no, but, you know, I don't get any money returned. I have to pay more. And I go, no, it's nothing to do with that. So the tax return is the application that you submit with your details, with your information.
Yes.
That is the declaración, strangely called a return. I suppose return because you're returning facts and number, information about your income to the tax office, Hacienda, as it's called in Spain.
Yeah.
So that's the concept of the return, but it's nothing to do with they're going to return any money to you, usually not. Depends.
Yeah, there's no guarantee, right? There's no guarantee. Even though it's called a return, there's no guarantee you're getting money back.
Yeah, it is a strange expression when you think about it. You say your tax returning. Oh, they returned you some tax. No.
No.
I had to pay.
No.
Oh, but you said return. No, that's just me sending them the document, submitting the application. Well, it's not an application. Submitting the document, the documentation that you have to give them about my expenses and income, etc. Yeah. And then maybe, if you're lucky, yeah, what do they call it in England? I can't remember. I don't know if they use the word return, because then that would be confusing.
I'm sure
there's probably a word, but I've forgotten what it is. Well, maybe if you're lucky, they give you some money back. They return you some money. But when you say a tax return, it's nothing to do with devolución de dinero.
No. So the tax return is actually the declaración, isn't it? The tax return is the declaración. So, yeah.
Is the paper document or whatever, now an internet probably, that you have to fill in and send to them. That's the return. Yeah. Nothing to do with them giving you back money.
Yeah. Kind of reminds me a little bit, Alistair, of another common mistake that we did talk about quickly before we started recording. And I think it's just worth touching on, although it's not connected to the whole idea of presentar. Is this confusion with return, and how people, when they go and travel, or, you know, in the United States or in England, they often say, or they are even ask us, right? They, how do you say, I'm trying to get a train ticket, and how do I say ida vuelta, right? How do I say ida vuelta? And at that point, we just say, well, all you have to do is say you'd like a return ticket, right? Now, this came up to my mind.
Wherever the place is.
Yeah. A return ticket to Liverpool, you know, your hometown, right?
Exactly, so, yeah. And people are like, yeah, but that's, what. But how can you return if you don't go, you know? Where's the go?
Where's the go? Yes.
Well, they just give you a ticket to come back, but you're not there.
That's right.
So that really confuses people, because in Spanish you have to say both things, the go and the return.
Yes.
I say, no, in English you don't need, you either get a single or a one-way ticket. Mm-hmm. So that's the either, and you don't return, or you just ask for a return ticket to the place where you're going. You don't need to say go, because the logic is, if you think about it, it's like, to be able to return, you must have gone. So you can't back from Liverpool if you don't go.
Yeah.
So in English, it's sort of redundant. It's obsolete. All you have to say is a return ticket to London, please. Yeah. And they give you obviously a ticket that enables you to go and then return.
Yeah.
Because it wouldn't make any sense just to have a ticket to return, because you go, but I'm not there. How can I how can I return if I haven't gone? Yeah. So it's a bit confusing.
A bit of a digression.
Yeah, in English is like that.
A bit of a digression, but I thought it would be worth getting in there, because it's like, it's one of those things, you know. Absolutely. Like travel.
Causes confusion.
Travel vocabulary, that's right. So
very useful travel vocabulary.
It is, absolutely. Number five is, and this is really interesting for us, Alistair, because I don't think we've done this for a long, long time, or at least, I don't know.
Well,
how
in
many
my case, more recently than you.
Yeah, that's true.
I remembered.
True.
I'd forgotten this until you reminded me.
That's right. So in Spanish, obviously, presentar is often connected to the idea of when you're going to take an exam, right? Or sit an exam, right?
Yeah. But, so it's presentar, say, a un examen.
Exactly.
But we wouldn't say you present yourself. Well, I mean, if you said you're presenting yourself the exam, we understand what you mean. Mm-hmm. You're going there to do the exam. So you can say do an exam, take an exam, and sit, which is a strange one.
Yeah, that is very strange, isn't it?
Well, I suppose you do sit. You don't stand usually. You sit down. So we say to sit an exam.
Yeah.
So take, do, or sit.
Yeah.
Say take and sit are the most common problems.
That's
and
right.
Then you could just say do, a fair.
Yeah.
But not present.
No.
So you don't present yourself to an exam. Well, maybe sometimes people use it, but it's very unusual.
Yeah.
Yes, we were thinking about the last time you asked me that I took or sat an exam.
Yeah.
And in your case, Daniel, when did you last sit an exam?
Well, I have to be honest and say that I had to think for a long time of exactly when that would have been. I suppose my last moment at university was in London. And even then, the problem is that I was doing a master's degree at that point, and you don't really normally sit exams or take exams. It's like just a dissertation. Do you know what I mean? So I probably have to even go back beyond that. So it would be something like something in the year 2000 or something like that.
Yeah,
where
your finals.
Yeah.
As we call them, final exams at university. Yeah. Well, I thought the same. My first thought was, I haven't done an exam since university. But then I think you prompted me to say, what about Spanish nationality? I went, oh, of course. Mm. So in fact, quite relatively recently, I'm trying to think what it was, 2020? Mm. So in the pandemic, actually, it was just after the first lockdown, I think, in the submitted an application, there you are.
Good.
To get Spanish nationality.
Yep.
Or citizenship, whatever you call it. And to get that, you have to sit or you have to take two exams. If you're a non-Spanish speaker, obviously if you're from Argentina, you only need to do one. So as a non-native, as a non-Spanish speaker, non-native speaker, I had to do a Spanish language exam. Mm-hmm. And I had to do, and everyone has to do a cultural exam on Spanish culture. They ask you questions about, you know, Spanish, I don't know, geography and food and, well, different cultural aspects, politics.
Yeah.
And you have to pass both of those to be able to obtain the nationality. So, in fact, I did take two exams in Madrid about 4 years ago, it would be, three, whatever it is, which I passed both, and I'm still waiting. It's ridiculous.
Oh, you're still waiting. So, right.
Yeah, yeah. I think I finally, I had to do a lot of other things as well. You have to acquire all kinds of documentation apart from the exams.
Yeah.
But I finally submitted my application for Spanish nationality in August 2021.
Okay.
And I'm still waiting.
Oh, you're still waiting, right.
Yeah, well, so it's over 2 years.
Yeah.
They're not very quick, shall we say.
Well, let's you have to use the expression, good things come to those who wait.
Well, yes, I hope so in this case. Or no news is good news.
Oh, yeah, as well. Absolutely, absolutely. Yeah, very interesting, very interesting. So, yeah, the Spanish nationality being yours. So, yeah, more recent, obviously, the last time you sat an exam or took an exam, much, much more recent than I did. But I assume you passed with flying colours, right, Alistair? To be honest, for those
I
two
I did.
Examples.
Well, the level test was very easy because it's only A2, right, so yeah. Basic level. So, I mean, I think I got 100%.
Okay.
On that. And then the cultural one, well, yeah, you study for it, basically.
Yeah,
you go in YouTube and there's whole videos of people they just give you all the questions and the answers. You memorize them.
Yeah.
I mean, I knew quite a lot of them without doing that, but not all of them. So I basically just memorized the answers to most of the typical popular questions and they all came up in the exam. So I think you need to get 16 from 25 questions, which is quite a low level anyway. You can fail quite a few.
Sure.
And I think I got 24 from 25.
Good.
And the one I got wrong, I think I knew, but I just, you know, stupidly put the... It's like multiple choice. I put B instead of
right,
C by
right.
accident.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it wasn't that difficult.
Not that different, no. Good. Okay, so there you go. To sit an exam or take an exam. Got two more. The next one, which is number 6, is actually, again, one of these verbs that is important to know, especially for more... formal situations, a little bit like submit. And I think more people will know it because over the years, it kind of think that Spanish speakers have kind of gone into different sort of recruitment processes and seen this verb again and again. But this is kind of when you are obviously looking for a job and you need to apply for a job, right? You don't present yourself for a job. You apply for a job, right, Alistair?
Yeah, apply for a job. Or it could be within a company for a position. So maybe you want to change the position or the department within your company and you don't present yourself for that particular post or position. You apply for it.
Yeah.
Or obviously just for a job at the beginning when you're trying to find a new job or change jobs, you're probably sending job applications, we would say.
Yeah.
And applying for jobs. Now, in Spanish, there's the word solicitar that you can use. But I think, according to my wife, at least, you can use this presentarse as well for
sure.
A particular job or position. But I think you wouldn't say present yourself. You'd say apply. You know,
yeah,
there's
apply.
A position coming up within the company that I'm interested in, and so I'm going to apply for it. Or make an application. You could, or send an application. You could also say.
You know? Yeah, you could. You could. Mm. Yeah. So that's another important, useful. Formal verb that is good to get into your brain and use it from time to time if you can. And the last one is actually related to a context where you might just be going to a particular location, right, Alistair? And the idea is kind of like reflexive in Spanish, right? It's kind of presentarse, right? En un lugar, un sitio.
So you present yourself to, I know, at a meeting, a party, Congress or conference, anywhere really. So anywhere you presentarse, used a lot in a business sense with obviously meetings or conferences, etc.
Yeah.
Well, basically you go to the meeting or you don't, and so you presentarse. Now you wouldn't say you present yourself to the meeting or the congress or any place really. Now whether it's meeting a friend somewhere.
Exactly.
You have to, you know, get into the center of Madrid for 8 o'clock to meet somebody. You wouldn't say you present yourself.
No. No, you wouldn't.
So what would we say? Well, there are various ways, but there's one phrasal verb that's very useful that we use a lot.
We do.
For this particular meaning of presentarse en un sitio.
Yeah.
So what would that be, Daniel?
It's actually to turn up. To turn up.
Yes.
And you can actually obviously use that in many different contexts in the way of like, when you're talking about other people, they turned up on time, or they turned up 10 minutes early or late or whatever it might be. And that perfectly replaces that whole idea of presentarse, right? It's like, it's a great way. I wouldn't say it's like informal or formal. It can be used in any sort of context. Just as long as you know it
I'm sure many of our listeners, most of my clients, would know turn up, but they know it with a different meaning.
Yeah, like,
which is to turn up the volume.
Yeah,
so increase the volume. Say, I can't hear the TV, turn it up. So a lot of people will know that one, but not this meaning of. So I suppose it's sort of a means to appear in a place.
Yeah.
So you could say appear. You could say come. You could say what else? Arrive.
You could.
So if you say, you know, there were three people arrived late to the meeting, three people appeared late, three people came late, or three people turned up late, all of those are valid. Or how many people came to the meeting yesterday? How many people turned up? Now, in Spanish, you could probably also use llegar, venir, but there is this way of expressing that concept with presentarse. Maybe it's a bit more formal in Spanish, I would imagine. Than just saying arrive.
Yeah, sure.
And in English, we have turn up that is not formal or informal, really. It's just, it's just a verb that we use. In fact, it's very common now to say, how many people turned up to the meeting, or two people turned up late, or nobody. I had a party, invited 20 people, and nobody turned up. That was very depressing.
That would be sad.
That would be very sad. Or only two people turned up. You could say only two people came.
So as well. You've got alternatives. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Good. So that is number 7. So there you go. You have to thank your wife for inspiring us for this particular episode. We'll go quickly through them again just to review. So the idea of presentar and the particular options that you have in terms of getting that across into English. In many cases, there are lots of problems. You should probably think twice before you just automatically take it across to English. The first one was where you're literally introducing yourself. So you're introducing somebody else. So don't use present in that case. Use introduce. The second one is where you can actually use present. But that kind of goes to maybe the most common sense version of it, where you're actually presenting something, presenting information. Maybe you are even presenting a TV show or a podcast like we are doing now. Then number 3 was related to the idea of the difference between a noun and a verb. Okay, to present something goes back to the previous point that I just made just now. And so if you want to talk about regalar, then you have to go more to give a present. Okay, and then the present is used more in the noun form there. Or you might not even use present at all. What did you get for your birthday?
Yeah. What did you receive? Or
absolutely.
Etc.
Yeah. Number 4 was submit. Okay, which again is one of these verbs that I would encourage you to get a hold on. Try to remember it. And especially if your work is related to that sort of submission of information, or something needs to be submitted at a certain time, like at university or some sort of project, then that verb is absolutely critical. A little bit like the tax returns have to be submitted, you know? A declaración.
Oh, yeah, clarity. A deadline. Yeah, you've got to submit your tax return by a certain date.
Absolutely. Then number 5 was to sit an exam. Okay, we don't use present in that case at all. You can sit or take an exam, like Alistair did when he wanted to get his Spanish nationality. Okay, so there, a strange one, it has to be said, to say sit an exam, but you can say that. Or if it becomes, it's a bit easier for you, you can remember just to take an exam. And then the last 2 was the one which was another verb, which is interesting in terms of apply for something. I'm sure many of you know that verb, but definitely important when you are looking for a job and sending your application. You will have to probably use that verb quite a lot. If you're doing that in English, you have to say application, or I am applying for this particular reason. So really important verb, just like submit. If you can get that, that's really useful. And then the last one is when you are kind of in a situation where people are going to arrive, presentarse, like reflexive, and you want to say that they, I don't know, somebody arrived late, they turned up late. Okay, we're using a phrasal verb there. That's probably one of them. You know, also maybe a bit tricky to remember, but very, very useful as well. Right, Alistair?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's a good one, turn up.
Absolutely, absolutely. So there you go. Basically, seven different options for that verb presentar. And hopefully they were all very useful. And I will see you again next week, Alistair, hopefully.
Yes, yes, I'm sure we will. So we won't present ourselves, but we'll both turn up and present this program again.
Absolutely.
This podcast, I should say.
Yes, that's right. That's right.
See you next week.
All right. See you then. Bye-bye. See you.
Ciao. Ciao. Cheers. Bye.